Dude, when I was a big time day drinker, Champions League was fucking made for day. So when I hear that, when I hear the Champions League anthem, dun, 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 the champions, I can smell the craft beer. What's up? Welcome home. I'm prepared to go forward here with it. I'm here live. I'm not a cat. You're listening to Taking the Over with Billy Gunn. Oh, the official sports wagering podcast of the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. Yep, not a cat, no matter what my Zoom filter says. And I've got here with me today, Ben. From Dome Patrol United, he puts the United in the Dome Patrol United, one of our friends from the UK, UK Saints super fan, Arsenal season ticket holder. We're going to talk about some soccer. We're going to talk about some Saints. We're going to talk about some gambling. And Ben is the youngest member of our team. It's almost I'm real big on generational differences, Ben. And it'll probably come out at some point as we talk here. But what's up? Welcome to Taking the Over. I'm so excited to have you here.
Yeah, cheers, Gunn, mate. Appreciate coming on. Like I say, this is one of, since we started doing the show, it is one of my favorite shows to listen to. He's really kept me entertained and made me some money this season. So I can only thank you. And I can confirm that I'm not a cat as well.
Yeah, you're not a cat either. Good.
I'm not a cat either.
Good. Just want to let you know, Judge, I'm here. I'm ready to go forward with it. Not a cat. Yeah, man, we had a good year. I almost feel like our episode today is like the first episode of our next season, right? And so I'm going to close the chapter on last year and kind of give you a recap. Overall, we went 67-45-2 with the picks here on Taking the Over, and that's a 58% success rate, which is, I have no intentions of having that success in season two as we move forward. A lot of this was buoyed by my picks last week. Now, we were a little all over the place with the pod last week, obviously, because that's what we do when we pod at night. But I ended up posting my official prop picks for the Super Bowl on Sunday morning, and we ended up going 10-1. I posted 11 prop bets on @TakingTheOver on Twitter, and 10 of those prop bets hit. The only prop bet that did not hit was Tyreek Hill over, it was something like 94.5 yards. But otherwise, we got the coin toss, we got the no shortest field goal, we got it all, dude. And it was something really, really exciting. And I was watching and keeping track in real time and kept seeing my balance go up in my gambling account. And I feel it was a very, very good way to end the season. You know, I mean, we talk about mullets and aliens and all kinds of shit. Oh yeah, by the way, I'm actually good at this too. You know,
I had a terrible Super Bowl gambling wise. I kind of went heavy on the Chiefs. Just, I think it's an emotional one. I was just praying the Chiefs were going to win, and I think I went heavy on like Mahomes and Kelce, and and the Gatorade one backfired on me as well. I had orange Gatorade, that didn't come in. So
I gotta say, once I hit that coin toss, I felt really good about the rest of the night. You know, heads and heads, and it was on its way.
I had a bad night. that weekend of sport for me was just an absolute write-off in all different sports for me. It was a terrible weekend.
Well, I found a lot of my friends didn't do so well Super Bowl Sunday because a lot of people went heavy Chiefs, and I didn't even make a wager on the game side itself, but I was all over Tampa plus three, you know, on the pod advice last week. But yeah, I just played the props and had fun with it, and there was some stuff out there that was for the taking. And I think when you approach it in a real meticulous manner, and you know, do your homework, and you land on heads and everything else, I mean, you're bound to have some success. So I'm proud of it. I don't want to brag about it anymore. I want to talk to you, Ben, because one thing I've learned about you UK guys is you guys are like low-key casual gambling savages. I mean, like, I'm over here acting like I make bets. You motherfuckers are making bets like all day, every day, low-key, on the side. You've got nationalized gambling apps. You've got multiple platforms you can do it on. You can start doing it when you're 18 years old. Dude, the UK is primed for gambling.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the reason why it's so, like, I think the gambling market in the UK is just completely exploded with smart technology. You got gambling app open on my phone right now. Right. You know, you can sit there and play blackjack or roulette on it. Like it's I never do that because I don't believe the computers. I think
oh god, fixed. That's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah, you would. I just never do it. But yeah, you can like live bet in. You know, so you can halfway through a game, you can say so. Like the other day, a team got a player sent off in a Premier League match over here, and I was like, I still fancy these teams to get a result. So you can make it so quickly. You can just make a live bet on it as well. So that's why it's teams are actually getting sponsored by gambling sites over here. It's a big thing saying, oh, should they encourage gambling? But you know, it's part of the culture over here. I don't mind it as long as people aren't stupid with it.
Well, and I'll be honest, I mean, this is something not to get into world affairs, but it's almost like a truth on our planet that like you guys are a little bit ahead of us, right? So I mean, you're 6 hours ahead of us right now, but it's been the case in the UK, like you said, the smartphones have led to the explosion of it. We've only got app accessible legal gambling on sports in like six or seven states over here now, but you can see the tide turning, and eventually we're going to get there too.
Yeah.
With Louisiana, where we have a significant listener base, they're probably about 18 to 24 months away from that. It's been approved parish by parish, but we're just waiting to see what, you know, when the politicians in the Louisiana legislature get their hands on it, they're gonna fuck it all up. So we'll see what the end result looks like.
If it gets passed, it's gonna explode. It is such a different way of watching sport. It makes it a lot more fun. Like over here, Paddy Power doing stuff as one of the bookmakers over here, and they were doing stuff like for the NFL game, if you put a £5 bet on an NFL game, you get to live stream the game from their website.
Oh, that's fucking brilliant. So that's so like you, they've got the not, rights, yeah. they've gone all the way to get the broadcasting rights,
yeah,
and mixed gambling in it. And you've seen it, like the NBA has partnered with some legitimate gambling entities. I mean, it's a progression. It's on its way. It's happening. And like I said, man, for us to ever be in a place, oh, you go ahead and place a $5 wager on Saints and the Seahawks. Oh, and you'll be able to see it if it's not broadcast in your area. Dude, that's outstanding. That's like mixing the direct ticket with FanDuel or something like that. I mean, God, that would be, that's almost too good. They won't let us have things that nice over here. But.
So I did that for a couple of Saints games because I was a tight ass. I didn't want to pay up for NFL Game Pass anymore. I was like, it's 150 quid a year. Okay, I probably would pay for it. But I thought, you know what? I can actually then pay me by winning some bets on the Saints. So I done quite well out of it. Like the feed was literally, I think about 30 seconds behind. If I was on Twitter at the time, there'll be reaction of a play, but if you stay off Twitter and you can watch the game from 30 seconds behind easily, it's fine. So,
I mean, dude, you can being on a delay can happen anywhere. That can happen here domestically. That can happen overseas. Yeah. That's, you know, we've dealt with that firsthand with our Dome Patrol United group.
We've had it in the WhatsApp group where we're getting the feed quicker than you guys are over there.
Right.
Well, just, I don't know how that works.
That my brain can't comprehend it because it has to go farther to get to
exactly.
You guys. Right. Yeah. It's got to travel further. and it's got to get through those 6 hours difference, which
exactly so,
there's just a lot going on there that old Billy Gunn's brain can't figure out. But so, dude, so I mean, like you guys gamble all the time. Now that the NFL is over, I've got to be honest. I'm not a big NBA guy. I do like the first round of the NBA playoffs. That is like a rich, rich, rich place to bet. I do not feel very comfortable with the NBA regular season. I'm not real big on college hoops. Hockey, I'm trying to spend a little time getting back into hockey and maybe putting myself in a position where I feel comfortable wagering on hockey later this year. But I can tell you, where I feel comfortable and is going to be, you know, around for a while, both with domestic professional club play and international tournaments over the summer, is soccer. And I feel really, really good about soccer. And I know you guys are like soccer experts. I should say, like, you're an Arsenal season ticket holder.
Yep. I've been a season ticket holder for two, three seasons now. I went on the waiting list when I was 12 years old.
Holy but, shit!
Yeah, so it took a while. You know,
did they let you do that as a 12 year old? Did you have to be like sponsored by an adult?
No, I literally got some of my birthday money and me and my best mate from literally like, you know, junior school. I don't know what you guys call that. We're best mates since we're like 5-6 years old. Yeah. You know, it was $15 or say to put your name on the list. We put our name down together, and then we're still best mates now, and we got tickets together now. So it's great.
That's beautiful, dude. Now, are you in London, or how close are you to London?
I am 45 minutes outside London, so not okay. far at all. So I am in between. If you people know UK geography, I'm sitting in between Brighton and London. So
okay.
a town called Horsham was just the next major town. Is you might have heard recently is Crawley. Crawley are actually, they've got a soccer team and they're not very good. They're the League Two standard, but in the FA Cup, and this is one of the beauties of the FA Cup, they played Leeds United, a Premier League team, and actually beat them 4-0. It was just, the odds for that were easy over 150-1. It's just, you never get those odds. And that's the beauty of it, of that competition.
There's things about international professional soccer leagues that I think that a lot of Americans don't understand. And yeah. As I started to get into soccer and following the European leagues and the Spanish league a little bit too, years ago, like that I learned that I said, this is the coolest stuff ever. So just to kind of explain a couple things real quick, and I'm going to use Major League Baseball as an analogy. Right,
that's the best one to use.
Right. You have Major League Baseball, then you have AAA, then you have AA. So Ben was just talking about an FA Cup. Now imagine that during the NFL season or during the MLB season, during the Major League Baseball season, and they're playing their 164 game schedule or whatever it is, they also have a tournament that will happen during the season on other days that they're not playing games otherwise. And it wouldn't just be the 32 teams from Major League Baseball. It would be basically all the way down to like single A baseball, right? Because in the FA Cup, I mean, it's basically, y'all are damn close to having club teams that can qualify.
I've had friends that have played in the FA Cup.
Right.
It goes down to like, so the finals in May, it starts in August with games that are getting about 100 people to watch them. Like, it goes down that far. So my town actually in 2008 or 9, I think it was, made it to the proper competition. So they got through all the qualifying rounds and made it to the proper rounds. And this is a town that's in max attendance gets 500, 800 people. And they drew out Swansea City, who at the time was just about to become a Premier League club. And right. They had Roberto, I don't know if you must have heard Roberto Martinez, the Belgian manager.
Uh-huh. Yep.
He was manager of Swansea at the time. And he came down to our local town and it was just crappy weather, crappy pitch, playing a professional team playing against a guy who have just come off building sites and stuff like that. And it's just, it's ridiculous. It's like
your local team could get so good. They could get through the qualifiers and get to a point where like, oh, they're going to have to play the New York Yankees.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like the baby cakes playing the Yankees.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's
even more extreme than that, I reckon.
Like, so it happens there, and inevitably, as you get to the final rounds, most of the little guys are out, right? That's the FA Cup. Yeah. I won't get into the other domestic cup in England.
It's a City Cup, let's be honest.
Right.
The best thing about the FA Cup is it's been around since 1871.
Wow. Yeah.
And the team with the most titles have won it 14 times, you know, so the wealth spread around of it is what's quite nice about it. But 1871, that's when the first FA Cup year was. And it's been around since then.
The other thing that a lot of casual or American fans don't understand about professional European soccer, and I'll use the Premier League in England again as an example, is the concept of relegation and promotion, right? Yeah. And to go back to using Major League Baseball as an example, you know, like, so you've got your 32 MLB teams. Okay. We all know in pro sports over here in the US, teams will just tank. Right, you'll have owners that don't give a shit about anything but money. They don't want to invest in the team. They don't want to invest in players. Poor management. Y'all have almost got like an evolutionary setup to prevent that. In that the teams that suck, so the final, what is it, 2 or 3 teams out of 20 in the Premier League that finish in the last couple of positions, they would go down to AAA, and the top teams from AAA would go up into Major League Baseball. And it happens, you've got the Premier League, and then you've got like Division 3, Division 2, Division 1. And then so there's always a flux, and those little market teams have something to play for, because when you get to the Premier League, you get all that big money, right? You get like the big endorsed TV money and all the big deal money. And it keeps teams competitive, but there's, even if you're like, last couple weeks of the year, if your team is shitty and having a horrible season, you're not just sitting there like we are going, okay, first draft pick. Y'all are like, we got to play hard to make sure we don't get relegated to the lower league.
And there's 11 tiers. There's 11 tiers in English football. Wow. Soccer. Yeah, 11 tiers.
Right.
I think only the first four or five are professional.
Right. So a lot of like that, that's another thing that keeps it exciting. And then the last thing that I want to share that I think a lot of people also don't get about soccer, and I'll just use greater Europe as an example to start, is the concept of the Champions League. And we're going to talk about Champions League bets here in a minute. So you also imagine that there was, imagine that all different other big powerhouse countries also had NFL, right? And whoever the top 3 teams from the NFL would go on to play in a world tournament or a continental tournament. So if England had their own American Football League, you know, the top 2 teams from England would go. And if Spain had their own American Football League, the top 2 teams from Spain would go. And if Canada had their own American Football League, which they do, like the top 3 from the Canadian football, and they all go and play in what's called the Champions League, to legitimately determine who is the best in the world. And that's, I think it's another thing that a lot of casual sports fans over here don't understand, don't take the time to understand, or don't realize. And for me, those Champions League games where you'll have a top flight team from like England taking on a professional top flight team from like Portugal, that's fun.
Yeah,
and that's where you have these good gambling opportunities. And so we're in the midst of Champions League competition right now. That's correct, Ben?
Yeah. I think the first you've got Europa League and Champions League games going on next week. So
So Europa League. So like, let's say the teams 1, 2, and 3, the best 3 teams in the league get to go play in this Champions League World Series.
Yeah.
Europa League would be like teams 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah, and the winner of the Europa League will get automatic put in the Champions League next year.
The next year, even if they're like the 15th best team.
Even if they get relegated, but they win the Europa League, they would still go into the Champions League.
See, like all that shit was so cool to me when I was first getting into soccer about 15, 20 years ago. And I was like, why aren't people like, everybody's like, oh, soccer's lame, soccer's, but no, this shit's awesome.
Dude, I'm telling you as well.
If you're at all these different levels.
Yeah, if you're an American fan as well, time to get behind it. Because I tell you what, you've got a sneaky young national team coming through the ranks that I wouldn't. Your World Cup in 2024, is it? You guys are hosting the World Cup. I honestly can see the America becoming getting into the quarterfinals.
Here's the thing where I think what happens with soccer popularity and cycles as it relates to over here in America. We get excited every 4 years for the World Cup, and soccer is on the menu that summer. There's really nothing else going on usually but baseball and some basketball. Basketball's usually wrapping up. And, you know, okay, all of a sudden soccer's on our radar again every 4 years. But it's national team soccer. And inevitably, there's all this hype, and they get American fans all excited, but we don't do very well. And we like to win, right? We don't want to root for, oh, we made it out of the group stage into the elimination stage. That doesn't do it for anybody. It doesn't do it for the casual fan. The other problem is, I think, with that and how it isn't catching on over here is U.S. international soccer is a little less exciting than professional club soccer because it's higher stakes and teams are more likely to clamp down and not be as offensive oriented. And so we see when we get our glimpse every 4 years, we get a glimpse of a game that's not as exciting, I think, as it is at the professional ranks, just for the quality of the game itself. And the third part of it is dude, if you watch MLS, the Major League Soccer product, because I did some of that earlier this year towards the end of their season, and you've been watching like Champions League earlier in the day, dude, it's hard. We do not have a good product in MLS.
There's an ongoing joke over here in Europe that the MLS is a graveyard of football where we send all our old players that played in Europe to go and finish their career one last payday, like the Beckhams, the Thierry Henrys, the Schweinsteigers. They've all done it. Kaká did it.
But Zlatan.
Yeah, but Zlatan's come back to Europe and he's actually doing quite well for Milan. But Italian league is suited for an old person. It's not got the pace and physicality of other European leagues. But now I think America have kind of, the MLS have noticed that they're not going to attract big names. You're not going to get in, you know, prime Messi coming over to play in the MLS. It's just not going to happen. The money's not there for it. And I think they've been very clever now where they're beginning to recruit young South Americans over. And, you know, that's where they need to go down that route. Young South Americans and young actual Americans, bring young Americans through. You've got two of the best prospects in Europe playing in the Premier League and in the Bundesliga now. I think it's Reina. Who for Borussia Dortmund is fantastic attacking midfielder. Honestly, he is legit going to be a star. And Christian Pulisic, obviously, who's you know playing for Chelsea, who is a fantastic player as well. So that's the kind of route the MLS needs to do to get popularity, and obviously bringing the old star from Europe across is always going to help. But each year it's getting better, I'd say, but it will never be able to compete with European stuff.
No, we're never going to get there. So let's talk about
the market's not there either. The market's not there either.
No, we can't. I mean, we can't. No, you see it, and it's obvious. And I don't think money would fix the problem. And you know, we could have a real gummied out conversation about how we have superior athletes in all these other sports, but we don't in soccer. That'll be another day. I want to talk about some Champions League picks, because it looks like we've got a slate of games coming up next week.
Yeah.
And is this we're out of the group stage. So this would be the round of 16, correct?
Yeah, round of 16. This is the group stages is a bit boring. You kind of know what teams are going to get through the group stage. You might have one or two surprises, but this is where the competition gets really exciting for a casual fan. Obviously, Arsenal, my team, aren't in it. I haven't been in it for a couple of years, so I don't pay attention. I only start paying attention at this stage, really, of the competition, because this is where the fun begins.
So let's talk about it. Like I said, it looks like we got some games on the 16th.
Yeah,
and I want to get your picks on our options here. Starting with a big English Premier League powerhouse that lost to my beloved Manchester City on Sunday and lost pretty big because City was asserting their dominance like we do, because that's who our bandwagon is attached to as an American fan when I became a City fan about 8-9 years ago. So you got Liverpool and Red Bull Leipzig. Is I'm pronouncing that right, Ben? Leipzig.
Yeah.
Bro, yeah. I'm in South fucking Mississippi. All right, you got to give me a little bit.
South Germany on the Austrian border.
Yeah. Okay, and they're sponsored by Red Bull, which is cool, right? Yeah. And they've got it in their name, which is fucking outstanding.
So,
because Red Bull's a cool brand.
Red Bull have brought Red Bull Leipzig. Obviously, they brought Leipzig FC, I think it was, a couple, like 10 years ago, I think it was, and they were like a Division 5 German team. And then they basically pumped loads of money in to get them into the Bundesliga because they wanted a big German team. Red Bull have also done the same. They've got a franchise in America with the New York Red Bulls. Mm-hmm. They've also got Red Bull Salzburg in Austria, playing in the Austrian league, and they do quite well in the Europa League and produce some really good young players. But also, Red Bull are interested in looking at getting a club in England as well, I hear. So that's something to watch out for in the future.
Oh wow!
But they're pumping serious money into it.
Just talking money line on this game. So, for example, I've got Liverpool is +104, which in out of these three options, they're going to be the favorite. Then I've got Red Bull as +216. And then you can also bet on a draw, because draws are possible in the round of 16, first game of the leg, or leg one. Ben, what are your thoughts on Liverpool Red Bull?
So, pandemic, obviously, it's completely fudged the season up. Basically, certain countries in Europe have got certain rules about people entering the country. And actually, no one from the UK can enter Germany because of COVID-19.
Wow.
So this game's actually not being played in Leipzig. It's being played in Bucharest, I believe, in Hungary.
Huh.
So this game is actually Leipzig's home game, but it's being played at a neutral venue. So this throws betting off a little bit, because both teams are travelling. That actually is a neutral game. What will suit Liverpool more than it will Leipzig, in my opinion.
Liverpool's the better team. Liverpool should be the favourite in this game. They are regarded as the more talent. They have more money, more skill. They buy better players. They have better coaching. I mean, they would be the favourites in this game.
Yeah, so Leipzig were in the Champions League group with Manchester United and went through, and Manchester United went out. And look what Manchester United are doing in the Premier League this year. Leipzig beat them, I think, 3-2 it was in Leipzig, but then they got battered at Old Trafford 5-0, I think it was. So it's hard to predict, but and Liverpool are off form at the moment as well. It's really difficult to predict. I would lean towards Liverpool, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was a draw.
Ooh, all right. You said something there that I caught, and I actually just called an audible at the last second. I feel like Liverpool's asses are still hurting from that drilling they took from Manchester City on the weekend. So I'm going to go with Red Bull +216 on the neutral field in Bucharest, Hungary. Shock in the world, winning leg one of a two, and they're still playing two legs, correct?
Yeah.
All right.
Liverpool have got to play Leicester away at the weekend as well.
And that's another factor, scheduling and proximity of other games, because another thing that, as we were explaining earlier about the FA Cup and all these things happening concurrent with each team's regular season. So Liverpool could have a regular season game on Saturday and a Champions League game on Tuesday or Wednesday, right?
Saying that, Liverpool got a fantastic history in this competition, but also you've got to look at the game after Leipzig is the Merseyside derby against Everton.
Well, but Liverpool still has something to play for. They're still playing for positioning. They could still mathematically finish first. They could still mathematically win the championship. In theory, could be playing a weaker side in the Champions League leg one versus Red Bull.
theoretically they could rotate one or two players. I don't think they will, because I think they'll see the Champions League as their best chance of glory this season.
Because they're going to lose the league to Manchester City. So they're going to try and get their glory to the Champions League.
And if they can lose the league to City, but come away with the Champions League, their fans are going to still be ecstatic.
Yeah. Winning the Champions League is a big deal, right? I mean, as a City fan...
For me, it's the biggest competition in club world football.
Right. As a City fan, and with City's recent resurgence in the last 10 years when you know they got purchased and all this money came into the team, we've had no problem winning the league. We've had no problem winning the Premier League, but City has still not yet won the Champions League, which is seen as the bigger title. Yeah.
And that's what Pep Guardiola was brought in for. Get City over the line for that, because they can win the Premier League all the time if they want to. We've met with lots of different managers, but Guardiola was brought in to win the Champions League. So it is the big competition. But no, I would going back to Liverpool, Leipzig, I like the over 1.5 goals.
Right. Each team's team total is 1.5 in this game.
Yeah, so you can do a match total of 1.5.
Oh, wow.
That's for UK odds, that's sitting at 1-5, and then you've got over 2.5. Liverpool aren't scoring much, but I'd be confident on the 1.5 goals.
What kind of odds are you seeing on 1.5?
1-5. So say you put
let's say over here it's -575. So that's about close. And then under 1.5 goals is +340, which would be 3.4 times one.
But you never take rule number one of this podcast alert, you never take the under.
We don't take the fucking under. Bro, we're not taking unders here.
Yeah, why
do we not gonna take an under? I don't like the value on that over bet. I mean,
no.
I'm gonna play the side here. I'm gonna play the money line on Red Bull +216. Ben, you're down, it sounds like, for Liverpool, and you wanna take the over 1.5.
Yeah.
Excellent. I want to talk about our next game is going to be Paris Saint-Germain, as we would say it in South Mississippi, is taking on Barcelona. This is the number one team in France and arguably the number one team in Spain. Of course, Barcelona has Messi and all the big names. And Paris Saint-Germain goes out and buys guys that did really awesome at Barcelona and other leagues and brings them in because they are the big fish in a small pond as far as their domestic league in France. So this Champions League, this is a blockbuster matchup. That PSG taking on Barcelona.
This is the kind of matchup you expect to see in the final.
Right. Man, they fucked that up.
It's the draw. Basically,
you don't think that draw is rigged? Think it's rigged?
No, because they'd want it later on in the and that's another good thing. You got seeding in American sports, where in European soccer it's picked out the hat.
Yeah.
So you can get, you know, big games at this stage of the competition. What's great to watch as a neutral, keeps all the rounds interesting. PSG, Barcelona. Barcelona are in a real shit state at the moment. They are absolutely in a shit state. I wouldn't feel comfortable putting money on them. They're sitting third in their league.
Wow.
Yeah, so they're currently 11 points behind Atletico Madrid, who are in first, and Atletico Madrid have got a game in hand on them.
Well, what's odd here is on the money line, they're going to be the favorite at +120. Next would be PSG to win at +175, and then a draw is the big underdog pick at +255. You think you've got a chance to get some good value off of PSG in this game?
PSG have got some incredible players. Mbappe, right. Neymar going back to play against Barcelona. He left Barcelona to step out of Messi's shadow. Barcelona have won their last 5 games in a row, though, so they are hitting some form. PSG, new manager. They've been disappointing as well this season, considering they are the number one team in France. They're sitting third.
Yeah.
They are sitting third.
That's crazy.
It's mad, considering they've probably spent 3 times the amount of the league combined. It's ridiculous. Right. But it's at the new neutral venue. I think it's being played at New Camp. I don't think they've moved this game. I would go for a high scoring game of a Barcelona win.
Okay.
I just contradict myself there because of how bad Barcelona have been. But
sloppy, and some goals get scored.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Griezmann, Messi, Neymar, Mbappe. It's going to be a great game. I'd definitely tune into that if you can, because that's some of the best players in the world on display in that game.
I'm going to take PSG. I'm going to take PSG at plus 175. What I think I'm going to do with the two games that we talked about is bet them both individually money line, and then also do a money line parlay too.
Yeah,
and real quick,
parlay's the way to go. Parlay's the way to go. The Euro, you can win some good money at parlays.
You guys like the parlays over there. I'll see you doing like 6, 7, 8 game parlays, like, and that has no fucking chance to hit. Y'all don't care. You don't give a fuck.
It's part of the fun. Sit there watching. You can put like Man City on a parlay with my local village team here. It's just bonkers,
right?
And yeah, it's mad how that can happen.
Well, just to give the listeners some context, if you were to do this parlay, if you were to take Red Bull at plus 216 and Paris Saint-Germain or PSG at plus 175, a $100 wager would win you $769.
Sorry, say that again.
A $100 risk wins $769. I'm looking at it right now. I could put it in. I could hit the password.
So what was that again? That was Barcelona to win.
That was Paris Saint-Germain to win. PSG to win at plus 175 and Red Bull at plus 216. Now, let's say you want to do it both ways just to be safe. I feel very confident about Red Bull beating Liverpool. But let's play it the other way with Barcelona at plus 120. And that is going to end up being on that same $100 wager, $595 won. $695 paid.
Bet it both ways, right?
Basically.
But no, you're not guaranteed, because you've always got the tie.
Oh, I know.
And ties happen quite a lot.
I know. There's a lot of variables there.
That's why I like betting the NFL. That's why I like betting on the NFL, because you never really get tied. So you can actually go either way and come out on top most of the time. Where this, it's difficult. It's difficult with this.
Dude, that's a sexy little bet though.
PSG, I do like that.
And Red Bull, little underdog, no draw. That's a good way to spend. Let's see, what's the 16th? Is that like a Tuesday? Bro, that's a good way to spend a Tuesday while you're working. That's why I love Champions League. Dude, when I was a big time day drinker, Champions League was fucking made for day. So when I hear the Champions League anthem, dun, 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 the champions, I can smell the craft beer.
That is definitely. I'm just having a look. Because you can do a draw, no bet in these games. And that sometimes is a way of protecting your money. But it does slightly bring down the odds a little bit.
Uncle Tommy's not that sophisticated, brother.
Draw, no bet for me is a bit of an insurance policy. You might lose a bit of your money. But on a parlay, if you've got a draw, no bet in there, basically, it just wipes that slate off if you lose. But all the other, so you've got a 5-game parlay, and you have them all as one way, but draw no bet. If two of them draw, but the other three come in, it adjusts the odds, and you get the winnings for the three.
I'll take it. That's sweet. That's pretty awesome. You've got some time on us over there, so you've got more sophisticated gambling ways. What I want to do next is I want to transition to talking to some NFL, some Saints. Okay, you're a big Saints super fan, and what I want to do is I'm going to put together a theoretical, hypothetical Saints future prop addressing the biggest you know, hottest thing in Saints chat, Saints world, Saints speculative world right now. So Saints futures props, and specifically I want to talk about who the starting quarterback will be in week one. All right. And I put this together myself and I want to get your thoughts on it.
Yeah.
We've got Jameis. So I'm saying Jameis Winston is one option, and Jameis would be kind of like the favorite in this scenario at a -105. Right.
Yeah.
I want to put the field minus Taysom Hill as a separate option at -105. And then I want to put Taysom Hill himself at +300. Ben, what do you think? You think we're going to see Jameis is going to be our week one starting quarterback next year? You think there's any possibility that it's going to be Taysom Hill? And do you think it could just be anybody else who's out there in an option, draft or other free agent?
For me, it's either going to be Taysom Hill, Jameis Winston, or draft pick. I don't see anyone else coming in and taking the reins. If this is it, it's difficult. So, if Jameis is our starter, but Taysom Hill takes the first snap, does that count? If he does one of the gimmick plays?
No, it doesn't count. Who's going to be the starting quarterback for the Saints next year?
I think it's going to be Jameis Winston. But then I've still got a sneaky feeling they might take one in the draft.
What makes you think it's going to be Jameis Winston?
I think the noise is coming out. Peyton doesn't really actually lie too much in the off season. He does what he says what he does. We had a real issue with pass rush a couple of years ago, and he was like, "Yeah, we're looking at pass rush." And everyone's like, "They're going to take probably another position, maybe a wide receiver." And he went and spent 2 draft picks on Marcus Davenport.
It feels like he plays coy, though. I mean, it feels like,
I don't know.
He's not going to show his hand.
I feel like the amount he's pumping up Jameis Winston, if he wanted to get Jameis Winston, like, if he wasn't too sure on Jameis and wants him back again, he would play coy with him and try and get him on a cheaper deal. Right. He is literally wanking over Jameis Winston at the moment. Like, he has fallen in love with him. And Winston's agent must be sitting there just rubbing his hands together with the comments Peyton's coming out with and going to Mickey Loomis saying, "Look what your head coach is saying. If you want our guy, it's going to cost a bit of money." I definitely think it's going to be Jameis Winston. He'd be an idiot not to re-sign with the Saints as well, because he's been there for a year. He's been there, he'll just throw away a year of his career being the backup for the Saints, where he's going to have to go and learn a whole brand new offense. But Winston can be an idiot. I can see Winston being an idiot and doing that and chasing money. I don't know. Yeah, I'm too afraid. But no, Jameis Winston. I'm going with Jameis Winston.
Okay, so it's not going to be Taysom Hill.
No way.
It should not be Taysom Hill. And anybody that's still clinging to that is an asshole. Right.
Only person who'd be clinging to it is Sean Payton's ego.
Right.
And that's something that does scare me.
Do you see anybody out there in Saints Twitter that's still clamoring for Taysom to be quarterback?
No one.
None of those voices?
No. And the thing is, we won games with Taysom. We didn't go how many games? He played 3 games for us as quarterback, didn't he?
We went 3-1 with him.
4 games, yeah. 3-1. Like, if we went 1-3, it'd be like, hell no. But even if we went 3-1, it's still hell no, because we saw enough. We saw that he holds onto the ball too long. He can't read defenses. And the accuracy's not too bad, but yeah, it's just you can just tell from the naked eye, no, you're not on this level.
Right. And then, of course, anybody else. I mean, there's the field. There's the draft. There's talk of the Mac Jones from Alabama. You know, no quarterback from Alabama has ever had success in the pros since Joe Namath. It just, Alabama, certainly modern Alabama, has not been putting legitimate quarterback prospects into the league. See the struggles of Tua Tagovailoa and his starts this year for Miami going against NFL defenses versus the dominance that and superiority that Alabama has at the collegiate level as far as talent you could see Tua struggling with that. I am not at all excited about the prospect of Mac Jones. I mean, really, outside of the kid from North Dakota and Sunshine over there at Clemson, there's no quarterback in this draft that I'm like, is, you know, are they the one? Are they the answer? The Jameis thing is, because I think that Jameis is going to be our next quarterback.
Yeah, I do.
And well, I'm not 100% excited about that. And I'm a Saints fan. I want him to have success. I want him to have so much success. I don't ever want to talk about his personal, like, when sometimes I don't, what I don't like is when we're getting into this Jameis debate and somebody starts to fuck with his past indiscretions and problems that he's had. You'll appreciate this, Ben. I don't hold a fucking thing against any human being that they did before the age of 25.
Yeah, 100%. Like, you're a fucking idiot at that age. Like,
I don't hold a fucking thing against anybody that anybody's ever done before the age of 25. I don't want to talk about Jameis' personal shit. I just want to talk about Jameis as a quarterback. And he's immensely talented. He has an amazing arm. He's a big NFL-sized quarterback. He is somewhat mobile. He can move around. He's shown the ability. Everybody's running around lockstep saying he can push the ball down the field. He can push the ball down the field. Mm. Man, I'm just – wins and loss. I don't want to talk about 5,000 yards or 30 interceptions or 30 touchdowns. I want to talk about wins and losses. And the wins and losses. And then for that same team to admittedly add some more pieces, they added other pieces other than just Tom Brady, but then to win the Super Bowl and to do it winning out. How many games in a row did Tampa win to finish out the season?
8, I think, was in the end.
Right. Look, they're the champs, okay? And they did it with a few more pieces, but no Jameis. And Jameis was 7-9 with that team last year.
That team last year had an awful offensive line. They fixed that. You got to remember as well, most of the time, I know he caught 2 touchdown passes in the Super Bowl, but Gronk was playing as an extra lineman. So the line was good, but they had Gronk in there to add in as that extra lineman to give Brady more time. So I still don't think it was the best offensive line, and it was gettable, and we proved that twice this year. It makes it even more painful that they won the Super Bowl. But he's definitely going to have a better offensive line, I think. It all depends on how I think Ruiz does in year 2, and if they slide him across to center and McCoy to guard. We'll see what happens there. Jury's still out, obviously. But dude, he's going to have weapons. Like,
oh yeah, he's got Deontay Harris. He's got. Well, I'm talking about. Oh, sorry.
Oh yeah, great. Yeah, so I'm talking about Winston. Dude, he's going to have weapons. He's going to have weapons. Michael Thomas is going to be here next year. Emmanuel Sanders, I think he'll still be here. I'm not sure about that.
He's going to be a cap casualty.
He might be, but if the Saints are saying no, we're still going for it, then yeah, potentially he could still be here. But then obviously Deontay Harris is definitely the one that completely opens up the field for him, and he never had a running game in and never really had a defense in Tampa either. So we could see a completely different Jameis to the one in Tampa, and it's exciting. Let's be honest, it's a brand new quarterback. It's actually it's a blank canvas for him. Let's see what happens. I'm all for it. But then saying that, I wouldn't be against if we went another way and drafted someone. Peyton, I trust Peyton. There you go. I trust Peyton.
You're gonna take Jameis at minus 105 as your bet for the Saints starting quarterback in week 1.
Yeah.
Perfect. Let's get to some actual Super Bowl futures. And the odds are out for who's going to win the Super Bowl next year. Coming straight from the Vegas sports books. I mean, the first thing that jumps out is going to be where the Saints are in this. In that 18-1. If you placed a $100 bet on the Saints to win the Super Bowl, it's going to pay you $1,800. That's outstanding.
That's
pretty incredible, huh?
Yeah,
and really, I mean, we're not that far away. I mean, I think that the Saints can regroup as a running team. The thing that we went 8-1 the last 2 years without Drew, and we focused a little more on ball control on offense in those games. There's really no reason why we can't be that team.
Yeah. Defense, it's got most of the pieces coming back. We don't know. Trey Hendrickson, I'm saying goodbye to him now. I think he'll get priced out. He'll be gone. Listen to Nick Underhill's podcast today, and it's very interesting saying about Zach Bond coming in to play the pass rush and taking his snaps there. Well, Davenport taking more snaps from Hendrickson, and then Zach Bond coming in and playing the odd third down pass rushing role. Quan, is he going to be around? Who knows? We've definitely got a question at linebacker, because obviously Anzalone's a free agent as well. But my biggest one is in secondary, Marcus Williams. I think a lot actually lies on Marcus Williams, because I think Marcus Williams is, I know he had the Minnesota Miracle and stuff like that, but I think he shot up in my estimations this year. I thought he had a really solid year, and he sorted his tackling out, I think, quite a lot as well. So 18-1, I actually think that's quite generous. I see other teams who are like the Steelers 28-1 and the Seahawks 20-1, even the Browns 20-1. I'd put them maybe ahead of the Saints. How many times do you see a new quarterback come in? Obviously, it's happened this year, but it's Tom Brady come in and win on their first year.
I don't know. I mean, I would, just starting at the top, you got the Kansas City Chiefs at 6-1. You got the Green Bay Packers at 9-1. I feel like Green Bay is better than Tampa, and I feel like Green Bay is better than the Chiefs. And they can only really get better on offense. I don't know. I mean, as long as nothing crazy happens with Aaron Rodgers, which, again, he's, you know, coming off an MVP season in an offseason where they slighted him coming into this season. Tampa Bay at 9-1 seems, or Green Bay rather, at 9-1 seems very, very generous.
That's not bad, is it?
Tampa is 10-1. Baltimore is 12-1. Buffalo is 12-1. The Rams are 12-1. There's your value.
Matthew Stafford coming in. That's what they got him in.
You've got Matthew Stafford. There's been reports now that other players are reaching out, because now he's in LA, that he's going to start attracting big names out there too. Guys that want to go win a title are going to flock to LA.
Well, you saw that with Tampa.
You're going to see some of that in LA. And they've got, 12-1. I mean, the Rams are 12-1 to win the Super Bowl. They would probably be my second or third pick.
Yes, I think I agree with that as well. Their defense, they've lost their defensive coordinator, but still, I think that defense is extremely talented. You've Donald up front, and then you've got Jalen Ramsey in the secondary. We never had a home team host a Super Bowl, and then the host actually won it. Are we going to have back-to-back years with that?
You could have that back-to-back years. That would be a hell of a narrative. And again, I think right now, getting in on this while it's 12-1, when it's more of a mystery, because I don't see bad things happening to the Rams this offseason. I see good things happening to the Rams this offseason as it relates to free agency and people coming and going. Dude, that line is only going to get smaller. So 12-1 is an exceptional value right now on the Rams winning the Super Bowl. And you saw all of everybody that was holding tickets for Tampa to win this year was very, very, very loud in the end about holding those tickets that they ended up cashing for Tampa to win the NFC or Tampa to win the Super Bowl. I think you can see the same thing with the Rams for next year. Saints at plus 18 are great. The Jacksonville Jaguars are 100-1. And you know what's crazy? Is they've got all the cap room in the world, and they're going to draft the best quarterback prospect that we've seen in many, many years. And they're 100-1.
We've got them over here. I'm looking at the screen over here. We've got them over here at 75-1. We've got three teams at 100-1. I'll let you try and guess them who those three teams are.
The Texans, Jets, and Jags. Jets, and Lions.
Yeah, Texans, Jets, and Lions are all sitting there at 100-1. Then we got the Bengals at 80-1. The Giants at 75-1. That's bonkers. That is really...
And it's going to be a great offseason, man. I can't wait to see what happens with... It's going to be a heck of a quarterback offseason. You know, the Saints, they may be done with their maneuverings as far as people coming in, you know, at the quarterback position. It's going to be a fascinating to see how they sort out the salary cap, not just in New Orleans, but league-wide with this lessening because of shorter revenues because of COVID. It's going to be interesting to see what attendance looks like for next year because football is going to start in the fall. I know you guys are locked down pretty you know severely over there, and over
thanks
here.
Thanks for reminding me.
Over here it's crazy because it's literally a state by state thing.
Yeah,
you know, some states never really closed.
It's mad. So going back to the Super Bowl pick as well, we've got the New England Patriots at 40-1. You've got to remember, a lot of their star players sat out this year due to COVID. And depends what they do at the quarterback position. 40-1 is not a bad price.
No, because they are, at the end of the day,
they are the Patriots.
At the end of the day, it's Bill Belichick and the Patriots.
If they could get like a half decent quarterback in that locker room, like I think Bill Belichick could win the Super Bowl with Kirk Cousins at quarterback.
He would need some receivers, and they'd have receivers this year either.
They got a lot of cap space.
Yes.
They've got lots of cap space.
Yeah.
The 40-1 wouldn't be a disaster to just maybe have a little play with.
Right. No, I mean, there's lots of attractive options out there. And like I said, even the team that I would consider to be the favorite in Green Bay at 9-1, you know. And then, like I said, a team that I would probably put as my third favorite being the LA Rams.
Well,
at 12-1, that's a hell of a value.
God, still like Kansas.
Yeah, they're going to be there in the AFC. There's nobody I don't think that can stop them in the AFC except for maybe Buffalo. Baltimore, Baltimore is going to be a roadblock for anybody. You know?
I think Lamar Jackson's going to be like a Philip Rivers where he'll never be able to get to the big one.
Well, the thing with Lamar is he takes so many hits, and
exactly. There's
never been a mobile quarterback that lasted for over 10 years or a long time. Even when you think back to Steve Young as a mobile quarterback, Steve Young didn't really start until he was 32, 33 years old. So that wasn't a prolonged run of success.
Well, it's 10 years. It's 10 years now since Russell Wilson's been in the league, and all these little chatter coming out that he wants to have a better offensive line around him because he's probably feeling it now.
Oh, he said it himself yesterday on the Dan Patrick Show.
Yeah, he needs.
I'm tired of getting hit, and he knew the statistics. He pointed out that he'd been sacked like 400 times.
Well, that's what happens when you trade Max Unger for Jimmy Graham. I think Seattle have never actually like drafted a first round offensive lineman since they've had Russell Wilson, what I just find is crazy.
I mean, you've got to wonder about the abilities of Pete Carroll as a coach.
Carroll's a good coach. Look, he's always had them in the playoffs since he's been there. I think only one year since he's not been there to take them to the playoffs, but they're good. You know, Russell they've kind of leaned on that with a run heavy, good defense approach. And this year they kind of went the whole let Russ cook bullshit that was going on. They kind of went that way, and obviously you can't. He's not a slow cooker because he's going to get hit. So you need, yeah, I can't, oh God, I can't see him hitting the market either, but yeah.
I think I think Pete Carroll's a false messiah and Russell Wilson's not going anywhere.
No, he's going nowhere.
Well, Ben, is there anything that you want to make sure that we talked about today?
I've just got a sneaky prop bet coming in that I've just rumblings going around on social media. I think this potentially could be a move that's going to happen in the next couple of days. Bournemouth, former Premier League club, got relegated last year. They were on a very good run of form, and then they lost 6 games in a row, and they're still in the promotion hunt, but they've got rid of their manager, and they're looking for a manager now, and they're looking for, the words that have come out is they're looking for a young manager who wants to play good expansive football to get him back into the Premier League, and they don't want to go around the merry-go-round of getting all the old guys who are like the journeyman, like how would I like the what coaches should I go with in the NFL, the Adam Gazes of the world. They don't want people like that. They're looking for like a young upcoming manager who's got a bit of experience, and this is a name you'll remember. He's 9-2, what I think is quite good odds, and there's been a lot of chatter about him today, and he's very interested in the job. Patrick Vieira. He used to be a Man City under 23 coach, so he's got good connections in the league. He's been managing out in France with Nice, and they've had some financial issues, and he lost his job there because they weren't in the table where they expected to be, but they barely had a team because of the financial issues and the impact of the French Football League going bankrupt soon, probably. 9-2 to become next Bournemouth manager. So I just leave that one out there. I think that's very good odds because I can see that one happening.
You heard it here first. Taking the over.
So you put $100 on. If you put $100 on that, you get $450 back.
Well, Ben, look, dude, I want to thank you for coming on. We're going to have a lot of fun this offseason doing a lot of different things. I want to make sure I can get you on several times to talk some different soccer bets, some things that we got going on over in the UK and Europe. Make sure to listen to anytime you and James do the Premier League pod here on the Dome Patrol United Network. It's an awesome show. I get my Premier League knowledge from that show. Amongst watching the games themselves. Dude, I want to thank you again for coming on. Say goodnight to all of the beautiful people listening all around the world.
Yeah, good night, guys. Thanks, Gunn, for having me on. It's like I say, I love this show, man. And yeah, look forward to doing some Euro betting in the summer. We'll leave that teaser out there.
We're going to do the European national bets this summer. For taking the over, Billy Gunn, peace out. We'll see you on the other side later, and good night. And when I touched her skin, my fingers ran with blood.
In the hushing dusk, under a swollen silver moon, I came walking.